This Morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
More wildfire devastation. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, December 6th. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
An out-of-control wildfire in Southern California has chased thousands of people from their homes and burned more than 50,000 acres.
President Trump today will recognize Jerusalem as capital of Israel and announce plans to move the U.S. embassy there. That's not sitting well in the Arab world.
Special counsel Robert Mueller has spent $3.2 million so far on his Russia investigation. Find out what the money has paid for.
And how the professionals are telling their clients to prepare for tax reform.
Well, this is certainly something that advisors say they're getting a lot of phone calls about from people who are trying to figure out, as are we all, what tax reform means for us individually, and what are the best ways to prepare for it or to head this off if you can. And, you know, of course, that's going to be a pretty individual situation.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on what financial advisors are saying ahead of likely tax reform legislation. She's here in about 20 minutes. Hundreds of homes in and around Ventura, California have been destroyed by a fast-moving wildfire that's been fueled by hot, dry Santa Ana winds. Thousands have been forced to evacuate ahead of the flames. The blaze is called the Thomas Fire, and it started Monday evening in the foothills above Ventura. Winds quickly drove it west into the city, some 50 miles northwest of Los Angeles. By last evening, it remained 0% contained and had scorched more than 50,000 acres. Jim Martin lives in Santa Paula.
Unbelievable. I've lived here for 56 years, and I've never seen anything like this at all.
California Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency, which means state funds and resources have been made available to help the more than 1,000 firefighters battling to save homes. More than 250,000 homes were without power. All schools in the Ventura Unified School District were closed. In the San Fernando Valley north of L.A., the Creek Fire has blackened more than 11,000 acres and forced the evacuation of 2,500 homes there. President Trump today is expected to announce that the U.S. recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and will move its embassy there from Tel Aviv. Washington's Middle East allies all warned against repercussions of his decision when Mr. Trump spoke to them by telephone yesterday to inform them of his decision. Here's White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
The president, I would say, is pretty solid in his thinking at this point.
Mr. Trump's decision would fulfill a core campaign promise and change decades of American policy that has seen the status of Jerusalem as part of a two-state solution for Israelis and Palestinians who want East Jerusalem as their capital. Palestinian activist Munther Amira.
Jerusalem is the Palestinian capital. By moving this embassy, Trump is passing all the red lines in politics.
Reuters says agreeing on the final status of Jerusalem would remain a central part of any peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians. The State Department will look for a site for an embassy in Jerusalem. Federal officials have filed new immigration and gun charges against Jose Garcia Zarate, the illegal immigrant found not guilty last week in the murder of Kate Steinle in San Francisco. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
If convicted of either charge, Mr. Garcia Zarate, who was deported five times, could face a maximum of 10 years in jail. He was acquitted last week of first and second degree murder and involuntary manslaughter. He was also found not guilty of assault with a semi-automatic weapon. The illegal immigrant had been released from jail about 3 months before the shooting, despite a request by the feds to detain him for his sixth deportation. The case has sparked debate over illegal immigration and sanctuary cities. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. San Francisco is a so-called sanctuary city where local law enforcement officials don't cooperate with federal immigration authorities. President Trump has threatened to withhold federal funding to cities with similar immigration policies, but a federal judge in California permanently blocked his executive order. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $2,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees, and no collateral is required, and you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 2525 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 2525. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 2525.
Thanks for being with us. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell's dedicated small business advisors mean you'll always get the right solution for your business. Get up to $300 off select servers and business PCs with Intel Core processors now until December 17th. Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. Deutsche Bank has received a subpoena from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office concerning people or entities affiliated with President Trump. The Wall Street Journal says the bank has lent more than $300 million to entities affiliated with Mr. Trump. Meanwhile, Mr. Mueller's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election and possible collusion with Trump associates has cost taxpayers at least $3.2 million so far. Justice Department records released yesterday show expenses from mid-May. More from Andrea Noble, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. Andrea, what do we have?
Obviously, this is our first look at how much has been spent as part of this probe so far. You know, in past special independent counsel investigations, obviously the you know first one that will come to mind for a lot of folks is Kenneth Starr's investigation of President Clinton in the 90s and how much was spent for that. You know, that one costs $73 million for just his portion of the investigation. Another $6 million was spent in a prior iteration of that investigation. So, you know, that one kind of overall was totaling about $80 million. Obviously, you know, the $3.2 million we're seeing so far for Robert Mueller's investigation is a far cry from that. But, you know, this is just the first 4 months' worth of expenditures. You know, we don't know exactly how long this investigation is going to continue or, you know, kind of what could be some other big expenses down the road for them.
Anybody from the legal community say this is a good return on investment or anything like that?
You know, I think the thing that I've heard from a lot of folks, you know, who've either worked for, you know, U.S. attorney's offices or for prior, you know, special or independent counsels is that the thing that's different about a special counsel investigation is you kind of don't exactly know where you're going when you're starting. So there's a lot of digging and there's a lot of questioning while you're doing the investigation, is this something fruitful that we need to run down? And the idea being that obviously they want to run down every lead they have to make sure that they don't leave any, anything, uninvestigated. They don't, leave anything out. So there's kind of an idea going into it that you want to do perhaps more than, Not that you want to do more than a normal investigation from a U.S. attorney's office would do, but you kind of have more of a roadmap for those types of investigations. You may already have, you know, the FBI or other investigators having basically laid out their statement of what they think happened, and then the prosecutors are just trying to make sure they can prove that, rather than with this investigation where you're still trying to figure out a lot of what happened.
Right. We're speaking with Andrea Noble, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times, talking about the money that Special Counsel Robert Mueller has spent so far in the Russia investigation. Has anybody put a figure, say, or a max amount of dollars to spend here? It doesn't work that way, does it?
No, that's the thing with Special Counsel probes is they're open-ended as far as time and as far as money. You know, now the Justice Department, and in this case, Rod Rosenstein, has to kind of review these expenses and budget reports as they're submitted. You know, I guess every year there's essentially going to have to be some sort of sign-off, but, you know, the Justice Department isn't necessarily they're expected to give the resources necessary. Mm. So, while they do have to officially sign off on it, they're also expected, to provide what's necessary there for the investigation to go forward.
All right. So some will say, geez, $3+ million so far, and this is all we got. And I think you sort of hinted at that. And there's one line here that says, for critics who question the legitimacy of the ongoing investigation, future disclosures about staffing levels and expenditures can fuel a new line of attack. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, the expenses were picked apart in some of the prior investigations. People wanted to know, why so much was being spent on travel or why so much was being spent on parking spaces or things like that in some of the prior investigations. So when you get, these details, folks want to know, is the taxpayers' money being spent frugally, or, is someone spending it on, some sort of luxuries that, might seem a little exorbitant. So, with this report that we got kind of a very basic breakdown of, the personal compensation for the attorneys, other staff were detailed over, we got some look at travel, at kind of their rent, utilities that they're having to pay on the office space that they're using, things of that sort. So we didn't get a very, not an itemized breakdown, but just kind of a look at the sort of types of expenses and where the money's going. So, obviously the biggest expense so far is for salaries. $1.7 million of it was spent on salaries and benefits for the folks who are part of the investigation.
Thanks, Andrea. Andrea Noble, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. It's 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump, will recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital despite intense Arab, Muslim, and European opposition in a move that would upend decades of U.S. policy and risk potentially violent protests. Trump today will instruct the State Department to begin the multi-year process of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to the Holy City. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says embassies abroad have been warned about potential violence related to this move.
We take the situation seriously, and we're closely watching it. As we often and very frequently say to you, the safety and security, not only of U.S. personnel, but American citizens at home and abroad, is the top issue here.
Leaders in the Mideast say the announcement could complicate Mideast peace efforts. The same vicious winds that have turned three Southern California wildfires into destructive dynamos are also making the firefight more difficult. The water dropping planes and helicopters essential to taming and containing wildfires have been mostly grounded because it's too dangerous to fly them in the strong wind. This man was renting a home in Sunland that's been destroyed by the sweeping flames.
I saw it come up the hill and I barely had time to get the dogs out. I didn't even get my things out.
Some 200,000 people have been evacuated. 200 homes have been destroyed in the Ventura area. The International Olympic Committee has barred the Russian team from competing in South Korea in February over widespread doping at the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi. IOC President Thomas Bach.
The report clearly lays out an unprecedented attack on the integrity of the Olympic Games and sports.
Russian athletes will be allowed to compete as Olympic athletes from Russia under the Olympic flag, but gold medalists won't hear the Russian anthem played on the podium. What tweets resonated the most in 2017? Tweets from a former president, LeBron James, and a guy who really likes chicken nuggets. Twitter says its most shared tweet of the year came from fast food lover Carter Wilkinson, who, on a quest for a year's worth of free chicken nuggets, pleaded with the world to retweet, "Help me, please, a man needs his nugs." Former President Obama, with 1.7 million retweets in August, was second, posting, "No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion," a quote from Nelson Mandela.
A quote like that finished in second place to a guy who wanted chicken nuggets.
You got it. That's the world we live in.
Oh, my. 23 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Unless and until Congress finalizes the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, financial advisors warn, be cautious about making big moves to sway your tax bill. Here's what you might do with your money from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what are you hearing?
there's still a lot of different hoops that have to go through, and the advisors are generally saying, look, until we have a final bill, you know, you want to avoid making any moves that would be harmful to you if, say, you know, a particular aspect of reform does not go through, because, you know, as you said, but they've got to reconcile some of this. So, you know, you don't want to be, you know, prepaying things that you can't afford to really prepay, or putting your money in a particular move that, you know, is not going to be as beneficial if that part of reform doesn't go through. Mm. This is all about working within the current framework.
It's almost like anticipating a tax refund, right? Don't spend it until you actually see it in your account, if in fact you have plans to spend.
Exactly. Yeah, you need to be really looking at what the existing opportunities are. And, you know, one of the things the advisors talk a lot about is like trying to see what deductions you could take for 2017 that, you know you're eligible for this year, regardless of what happens in 2018 onward. So trying to think about particular things with that, or, you know, even just having that opportunity to, you know, maybe add a little bit more pre-tax to your 401k or to your IRA.
All right, so these are things we probably should consider every year at about this time, right?
Yeah,
so
having and that's nothing usually we're writing those stories, and we've certainly got our share of them this year, too.
Yeah. All right, so once tax reform is done, then what do you do?
Well, that's a good opportunity to really loop in if you've got a financial advisor, if you've got a tax preparer, you know, folks who can really give you a better, more accurate projection of what that final bill and the provisions are going to look like for your tax situation. Because that's when, you know, maybe there are more specific year-end moves that you could make, depending on when all this goes through, or better ways that you could, you know, start off 2018 in the right way to make sure that, you know, you're paying it enough that you're not going to get hit with a huge tax bill, you're evening things out, you know, you're taking advantage of the system as we will know it to be.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The holidays are here. Why not wow friends and family with a new type of gift, a package from Omaha Steaks. My wife loves the filet mignons. I'm a fan of the sausages. My kids prefer the burgers. Those meats are just part of what's in the family gift pack. To get it, visit omahasteaks.com and enter my code Gordon in the search bar for 75% off. Here's what you get in the family gift pack for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steaks seasoning packet. Plus, for free right now, 4 additional kielbasa sausages. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. The gift is guaranteed to be a hit. Again, omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. On this Wednesday, December 6, Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump will announce the Israeli embassy will move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, upsetting Arab leaders. Southern California wildfire, known as the Thomas Fire, continues out of control in Ventura. Time magazine today names its person of the year. Starbucks today opening a 30,000-square-foot shop in Shanghai, its largest one on the planet. And the parents who readopted the daughter they gave up 39 years ago. That story in about 20 minutes. In the era of President Trump, when up can be down and down can be up, it's no surprise that the Republicans' hour of great accomplishment also is their hour of great peril. That's according to Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib, who pulls together the political ramifications of tax reform and the Russia investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller. Jerry, explain.
Look, there's a reason for Republicans to feel triumphant at this point. They have are on the verge of passing a big tax cut. It's passed the Senate, which was the big question mark. It's passed the House. They have to work out differences between the two measures, but I think most people, including me, think they'll get that done. And so the subject that was the highest priority for them, which was to have a big tax cut and tax reform bill, seems within reach, and that is reason for feeling triumphant. But at the same time that happened, there's some real downside risks, and I think there's a kind of a split view of this among Republicans. They're happy with what's going on, but on the other hand, the tax cut idea has not really proven to be all that popular so far, and so they have some salesmanship yet to do. There is the possibility on the positive side that the tax cuts and its benefits, you know, extend and solidify what's already a pretty robust economy and a pretty good job growth record, and that would be good. But on the other hand, it's possible that corporations, which are the biggest beneficiaries, don't do the kind of investing and job-creating spending with their tax cut revenues that the Republicans are hoping for, and that Americans may decide, middle America may decide, the beneficiaries of this are business leaders and corporations and the rich, not us, and that, oh, by the way, it's going to explode the deficit, and that really bothers us, and that this tax bill is never quite as popular among the broad populace as Republicans hope. And, of course, meanwhile, Bob Mueller, the special counsel who's looking at Russia's role in the 2016 presidential election and whether they gave undue favor to Donald Trump's campaign, has just indicted Michael Flynn, the former Trump national security advisor, who's clearly now flipped and become a cooperating witness. And so in the background of this tax debate is the specter of a move by the Mueller investigation deeper into the Trump inner circle. So we'll see whether that pans out, and it's the reason why Republicans feel good, but also feel worried.
On the tax reform issue, you mentioned salesmanship. Does public opinion come down to which party can sell it better?
You know, partly, but it's also, and by the way, Democrats are going to work very hard at selling the anti-tax cut message, which is that it, you know, doesn't help middle-class Americans, it helps the rich and it helps businesses, and that it is basically a payoff to Republican donors, essentially, and that middle Americans will only get the bills that will pile up to be passed on to their children as the deficit expands. So that Democratic message is going to be pushed very hard, and Republicans have to look for evidence that it actually is going to expand economic growth in ways that help middle America and that it creates both new jobs and higher wages, because that's what greater prosperity in the business sector does. So there is that debate out there, and I think that salesmanship is part of it. But from the Republicans' point of view, part of the way to really sell this is going to be to have economic evidence that shows it's working. And that'll take a while to develop. I do think one of the things Republicans have going for them is that there is already underway, as I said, fairly strong economic growth and a booming stock market, and the mere passage of this tax cut bill will probably help extend both of those things. And so they may be able to point to some real concrete evidence that is having a positive impact on the American economy.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. What about the threat of a government shutdown, and what does that do to all this?
You know, one of the interesting things here is that one of the reasons Republicans are really relieved that this tax cut thing seems to be happening is that in addition to passing a tax bill itself, it helps erase the idea that they're not very good at governing, that they have spent months and months trying and failing to repeal Obamacare. There's a lot of internal divisions within the party, fighting between the president and the Congress of his own party and its leaders. And the tax bill helps erase all of that and show that they can govern effectively. One of the dangers out there for Republicans is that sometime in the next few weeks there has to be a bill passed to continue to fund the government now and then through the rest of this fiscal year. And that success on that front is not assured at all. If that doesn't happen, there could be a government shutdown. Republicans will try to blame Democrats for that. They may succeed, but if they take the blame, it sort of erases a bit of this shiny glow that the Republicans are pointing to, saying, see, we can get things done.
Thanks, Jerry. It's Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us.
Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if we've learned anything recently, it's that you should be careful what you promise in exchange for some retweets on Twitter. You'll remember we told you about the college student whose promise to donate to St. Jude's based on retweets got out of hand quickly. Now another college student has a far more embarrassing problem after going viral on social media. Over the weekend, University of Alabama student Kelsey Hall posted a photo of herself dressed as a Christmas tree, saying that if she got 1,000 retweets, she would wear it to all of her classes for the rest of the semester.
Uh-oh.
You know what happened next. Her post quickly caught fire, and all of a sudden, Kelsey was faced with the prospect of trudging the class for the next couple weeks, dressed head to toe as a Douglas fir. To date, the original post has been retweeted more than 22,000 times. A complete shock to Kelsey, who told People that she never thought it would even get to 1,000, since the most retweets she'd ever gotten before was maybe 5. To her credit, though, she's been good to her word, even if she hasn't been thrilled with it, with friends posting pics of her on campus this week in full regalia, and other students posting selfies with her in costume in front of academic buildings.
All right.
Yeah, and she does not look happy about it.
No.
And she even said on Twitter, she's like, look, this was a joke. I didn't really actually want to do this, but here you go. But she's doing it anyway, so good for her.
Well, you posted it, so
yes.
Let that be a lesson.
Yeah, now she's encountered some other problems, like, for instance, it rained one day, so
yeah.
The costume got all wet and soggy, and she had to sit in class, kind of in the whole wet and soggy costume,
right?
Kind of all day long. Also, you know, in Alabama, it's still kind of warm,
mm-hmm.
And muggy,
yeah.
So she's had to deal with that,
all right.
As well. So she's had some obstacles to overcome, but
okay.
She's doing it. So good for her.
Well, perhaps this is a lesson in planning things out a little more carefully.
Yes.
How can I imagine the worst case scenario?
Right.
Right. That's maybe what she'll consider.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, everything's good at Alabama right now because, you know, they made
right.
The college football playoff. Like, you know,
exactly. Everybody's in a good mood there. Something to, you know.
Everybody's kind to a
right.
Christmas tree walking around campus.
Perhaps the mood would have been different towards her if they hadn't made
right.
it to the playoff.
Right.
And, Gordon, any talk of a guacamole shortage may have been solved by one single avocado. A Hawaii woman is waiting to hear back from Guinness Book of World Records to find out if the 5-pound avocado she snagged is the world's largest. Pamela Wong of the Big Island reportedly found the avocado Sunday while out on a walk. Guinness says the company doesn't have a category for largest avocado, but they do have one for the heaviest, with the current record holder weighing in at 4 pounds 13 ounces back in 2009. The fruit that Wong found was weighed by local officials and tipped the scales at nearly 5.25 pounds, enough to top quite a few pieces of toast at brunch this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah,
sell that. She could sell it right now and make a fortune.
I mean, avocado is,
right?
is the thing right now.
So expensive these days.
Rivals Bitcoin right? as far as investments go right now.
That's like a 25% jump in
yeah.
weight over the current record holder.
Yes, if we can find out how this avocado got so big, talk to the farmer perhaps.
Right.
You know, maybe we can solve this avocado shortage once and for all.
That is remarkable. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $15. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code HOLIDAY to get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 3 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Good news for cheese lovers. A nib of cheese a day apparently keeps heart disease away. Story in the New York Daily News says a recent analysis showed that people who ate a little bit of cheese every day were less likely to develop heart disease compared to those who rarely or never ate it at all. The researchers from China and the Netherlands examined data compiled from 15 previous studies where most of the participants were tracked for at least 10 years. Overall, those who ate more cheese had a 14% lower risk of developing heart disease and were 10% less likely to have a stroke. But experts warned that the findings were not linear meaning the study does not advocate eating enormous quantities of cheese. People who seem to have health benefits from cheese ate about 40 grams a day, or about a square the size of a matchbook. Dr. Alan Stewart at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York says this is not the same as eating a big slice of cheesy pizza every day. Researchers say the dairy product contains healthful ingredients like calcium, protein, and probiotics, but also high levels of saturated fat, which can cause high cholesterol and an increased risk of heart disease. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Born and burning quickly and with ferocity, wildfires have torched more than 65,000 acres in Southern California. As firefighters struggle to contain the simultaneous blazes, Ventura County firefighter Grant Noble.
People should heed the evacuation orders. They become a hindrance when they get in our way.
Powerful winds and extremely dry conditions are fueling at least five wildfires. Tens of thousands have been forced to flee their homes. 200 buildings have been destroyed. Top Republicans are trying to quell GOP divisions over the budget, and a partisan immigration clash simmers in the background as leaders labor to push a short-term spending bill through Congress by week's end and avert a partial government shutdown. Republican leaders postponed a planned House vote on the temporary spending measure from today until tomorrow to buy time to iron out disputes with conservatives seeking tighter budget curbs. House Speaker Paul Ryan.
They're going to make this legislation the best it can be. They're going to make it better than what we've already seen. The American people deserve that.
A delay underscores the clout conservatives wield within the House GOP as leaders work to avoid a shutdown. Representative John Conyers, the longest-serving current member of the House, has stepped aside after facing calls to resign over allegations of inappropriate behavior toward female staff members. On a Detroit-area radio station, the 88-year-old called it a retirement, not a resignation.
My legacy can't be compromised or diminished in any way by what we're going through now. This too shall pass.
Conyers endorsed his son to replace him. The race for mayor in Atlanta is too close to call, with one candidate declaring herself the city's new leader and the other vowing to request a recount. The margin this morning is razor thin, with just a few hundred votes separating Keisha Lance Bottoms and Mary Norwood. The contest between Bottoms, who is black, and Norwood, who is white, is seen as a test of the staying power of a long dominant black political machine amid demographic and economic changes. Both women are Atlanta City Council members. Well, if you work for Facebook, lucky you. For the third year in a row, the company has been named the best place to work by job site Glassdoor. Employees cite free meals, on-site health care, and new parent benefits.
Well, we have
coffee.
Bad coffee. Bad coffee. Water. We have water.
Yes, we do have water. The water's great.
It's a nice building to work in. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. How about this turn of events for a broken family? A woman from Jeffersonville, Indiana, has been readopted by the parents who once gave her up. With a biological parent on either side and an attorney's office, 39-year-old Jessica Roth thought she was there to sign papers that would start the process of changing her name back to the one on her original birth certificate. She wasn't entirely wrong, but her attorney surprised her, announcing that her biological parents had agreed to readopt her. As the Indianapolis Star tells it, her mother Marcy got pregnant in 1978. The father wasn't ready to settle down. Unable to raise Jessica on her own, she gave her up. After living separate lives for 30 years, her parents reconnected and got married in 2008. They got divorced 3 years ago, but started putting the pieces together to readopt Jessica, who'd been living on welfare in Florida with three of her five kids. The adoption happened last Thursday. Adult adoptions are fairly rare, but allowed under Indiana law. Marcy, the mom, says she was excited to give Jessica a sense of belonging. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.